Football widows and widowers can rejoice, unless, of course, your spouse, roommate, or alternate personality has a thing for NASCAR or college basketball. Those were two big topics in our household this weekend. Now, if you add the wife of pitcher Roger Clemens being dragged into the steroids investigation, sounds like time to check in with BPP sports analyst Bill Wolf, taking a break from his day and night job at some news network to channel back to his days as a pro sports producer TV type. Hi, Bill.
Let's live it up. Come on. NASCAR season has started, honey.
Oh, you want to start with? We'll start with NASCAR.
No, I just, you know, it's just exciting. You're a NASCAR widow, one of very few in this country.
Yeah, you just sit on the couch and watch the cars go round and round. Let's start with NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah.
Won the NASCAR Sprint Cup debut, the Budweiser Shootout, as it's called.
Yes.
Now, it's a big change for him from a year ago when he was going through a whole lot of major family drama with his stepmama. Take us back and tell us about the power struggle between Junior and a stepmom.
Okay, so Junior's dad was Dale Earnhardt Sr., the most famous NASCAR driver. Well, he and Richard Petty, one of the two most famous drivers of all time, and he was tragically killed at the Daytona 500 in 2001. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is the inheritor of that legacy. His stepmother is called Teresa Earnhardt, and she owned Dale Earnhardt Incorporated, which is a race car company. They pay for the cars. They build the engines and that sort of thing. His contract, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s, he, by the way, is the greatest marketing power in NASCAR. His contract was up last year, and he got into a huge dispute with his stepmother and said, okay, stepmom, I'm leaving this team. I'm going to a new team. And she said, okay, go ahead, walk. But you're not taking your number 8. You're not leaving with that. That's property of me. So you can go do whatever you want, but you're not taking your number, which was thought to be a huge melodrama. So off Dale Earnhardt Jr. went from Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not working for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated anymore. And this was his first race with his new team, so it was a very big deal.
Now, first of all, is Junior considered to be a good driver?
Well, that's an interesting question. Junior is considered to be an extremely popular driver with the fans, but his record is not nearly as good as his more successful contemporaries, of whom there are a half a dozen. He hadn't won a race in a year and a half. He didn't win any last year. So he's actually a little bit of a disappointment. He was expected to be a little bit better than he is, and his fame is far greater than his level of achievement.
So that's one of the reasons why this win was kind of a big deal. It was a big deal on the drama side because it was his first away from the DEI Incorporated, as they call it.
Correct.
And also because he beat out some big names. I even recognized them. Jimmy Johnson, yeah. And Tony Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Gordon, sure. I think you happen to be a big NASCAR fan, and I'm a NASCAR widower. How do you like that?
I think I just have one of those ridiculous brains that holds on to names.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Okay, let's talk briefly.
Yep.
College basketball. We'll talk about Clemens after the break.
Sure.
College basketball, we're 18 days away from the month of March, March Madness that accompanies it. The big teams, Memphis, Georgetown, UCLA, Duke?
North Carolina.
Probably.
Yeah, there's...
Who are you watching?
Well, last night, UCLA, I was thinking that UCLA was the very best team. They're very talented. They play a slower, more methodical kind of game than the other top teams.
ESPN said they're the most consistent.
Well, that's right. And also that slower, defensive, methodical game is a game I think is most effective when the chips are down in March. You know, if you're good at defense, you'll win a lot of games. But they got stomped last night in Seattle by the University of Washington, which hadn't played well at all. So UCLA is on a momentary down here in the middle. That's the team I favor, not favor in terms of rooting, but favor in terms of thinking is best. But the team I think everybody's watching right now is Memphis, strictly because Memphis hasn't lost yet. Memphis, I think, is 22-0. And until they lose, they're the best team. So people are very curious about the future of the Memphis Tigers and can they go all the way and do it without losing at all. A lot of people think that Well, traditionally, if you enter the NCAA tournament, which is the official name of March Madness, if you enter March Madness without having lost, you are actually at a disadvantage.
Why would that be?
Well, the pressure is on you. You haven't experienced the difficulty of losing it. You are not seasoned by adversity. So it's very difficult to run the table and be undefeated all the way through. So the popular logic, the common logic is you're actually at an advantage if you lose a game in February, so that it, like the Patriots were 18-0, and so there was all this pressure on them to go 19-0. That pressure on these 19-year-old kids is off if they've just lost a game in February. Memphis hasn't lost one, and it's not clear whether they will. But most people's eyes are on Memphis. I don't trust that Memphis. Memphis does one thing that's very bad, and this is something to keep in mind if you're going to watch March Madness. They're very poor at shooting free throws, and being very poor at shooting free throws is a killer in any basketball and in college basketball specifically, because games will come down to the end, and your team will need to hit free throws to win. If you are inconsistent or bad at it, and Memphis is that, you will put your team at great peril. So the reason I don't like Memphis is they don't shoot free throws well, and that to me is a very dangerous thing. Very, very dangerous.
Bill Wolf, can you stick around for about another 90 seconds so we can talk about Roger Clemens? And
90 seconds for you and the BPP is nothing.
Bill Wolf,
but it's everything to us.
BPP sports analyst. Stick around. We'll talk about Roger Clemens and how his wife got dragged into this whole steroids investigation. We'll also talk politics after the break. Stay with us. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
You're listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're on digital, FM, AM, satellite, online at npr.org/Bryant Park. Hello, I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Allison Stewart. Coming up, Jim VandeHei from Politico.com will join us with our weekend politics roundup. In case you missed it this weekend, Barack Obama won pretty much everything, including $10 and a back scratcher. No, we don't know about that last part. Before we go there, though, we want to go back to our conversation with BPP sports analyst, my favorite guy, because he's my husband, Bill Wolf. So, Bill, over the weekend, we were having this conversation about Roger Clemens. I want to get people caught up. Roger Clemens went down to Washington, D.C. He had to 5 hours, I believe, with investigators regarding the steroids investigation. A lot of the articles I was reading over the weekend, and I know you have a thought about this, saying that Clemens' adamant denials that he took HGH and steroids, that actually tipped off Congress into wanting to hold these hearings. The big one will take place on Wednesday. What do you think about those denials being so strong? Have they done him any damage? Should he have played this any other way based on the way other players have handled it this time around and a few years back when they were all pulled in front of Congress to testify?
Well, I try to put myself in the other fellow's shoes, and I think, well, if I were accused of something of which I'm innocent, what would I do? And from that base human perspective, Clemens's adamant denial makes sense. You know, I didn't do that. I'm not going to put up with it. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to lobby. I'm going to do everything to prove that I am innocent of these misdeeds. But going to Congress, and not just to testify, be deposed behind closed doors, not just that, but to go door to door in the halls of Congress, literally lobbying. Hello, Congressperson, I'm Roger Clemens. You may know me from my performances as a New York Yankee. I'm innocent. A lot of people to whom I talk about it, some of them are in the sports business and some of them are just sports fans, think to themselves, methinks the pitcher doth protest too much. That lobbying Congress is unseemly and a little déclassé, if you will, and may indicate this level of desperation which makes people believe that he's guilty. I heard a friend of mine wrote me that Clemens is trying to break himself into jail by doing all of this. So it's not clear how this is all going to play out. We are in one of the classic he said stalemates in certainly in sports history, it's not clear who's telling the truth. And I guess we'll find out, because both Clemens and his accuser, Brian McNamee, the trainer, have testified under oath and will testify publicly. And we'll find out who's telling the truth, because someone is lying. And that is for sure. That is clear.
And here's where it gets a little bit UGLY. Brian McNamee now saying that he not only injected Roger Clemens, but also Roger Clemens' wife.
Yeah.
Because she was going to pose on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a bikini with her husband. What does this have to do with anything in this case?
Well,
I don't understand how his wife got dragged into this.
Yeah.
Well, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, in an effort to be, well, I don't know what the effort was to be. We all know what the effort of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is.
Later.
You understand what I mean. They took husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends from all around the sports world and did a series of photos with them, and the Clemenses were included. So McNamee is suggesting that in order to get into shape, in order to be photographed in her swimwear, Clemens' wife also took performance-enhancing drugs in order to shape up and be slimmer, I reckon, in Sports Illustrated. What it has to do, I mean, it's simply another case of the trainer saying, look, not only did I inject Clemens at least 16 times over the course of 6 years, I injected his wife. That's how common my practice with Roger Clemens was. Now, in the meantime, you've got Clemens and his lawyers particularly.
You got 50 seconds, buddy.
They're trying to assail every single thing McNamee is saying. McNamee says that Clemens went to a party hosted by known steroid user Jose Canseco. Well, we say the lawyers, we have videotape evidence that that's not true. Here's a baseball announcer saying they saw Clemens at a golf course the day he was supposed to be at Canseco's house. So they are going point by point through McNamee's testimony trying to discredit all of it.
Bill Wolf, BPP sports analyst, thanks for being here.
You know, it's my pleasure.
Our pleasure as well. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
It's all you, Rach.